Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Kitchen Politics 123 Radio Show. Glad you could join us today. I'm David Franklin in New Mexico.
Hi, good evening, everyone. This is Lori Picka from Michigan. I hope everyone is doing well this evening, and we have lots of news lined up for everyone.
Yes, indeed. And tonight's episode is Season 5, Episode 9, Republicans' Pleasure Equals America's Pain and Suffering. The Republican Party don't care about anyone but themselves and their big money donors. There are many examples of this. Shall we go through the list? Tonight we will. They seem to get off on being cruel to us, the 99% of the have-nots. Will 2024 change the political landscape drastically? Or will it only get worse as 30% plus of the voting public are devout followers of Trumpism? Can the chains of political occultism be permanently broken after 2024? How can hearts and minds be changed, if at all? Is there still hope for meaningful change, or will politics get more divided and toxic as time goes on? Thank you for tuning in tonight and sharing across all social media outlets, friends. We'd love to hear from you. You can call in. The number is 515-605-9802. Please say your first name and where you're calling from. And please, no talking over the horse. Failure to comply with that, you'll get cut off. Visit our website at www.kitchenpolitics123.com. And this is Kitchen Politics 123 Radio Show. We're not anti-social, just anti-stupid. Let's get cooking, Lori. So, first on the agenda.
First on the agenda.
Yeah, first on the agenda.
Let's start with, let me get there. Okay, the DOJ is seeking 14 years for the January 6th rioter who called Trump daddy. That was a new one. He drove a stun gun into Michael Fannon's neck. Daniel D.J. Rodriguez wrote in a letter to the former officer he assaulted that he wished he were smarter. The feds say his actions amount to terrorism. Federal prosecutors are seeking 14 years in federal prison for a violent January 6th rioter who his lawyers say idolized Donald Trump and thought of the former president as the father figure he never had. Can you imagine thinking that he is like a father figure you never had? What kind of a childhood or what kind of parents could he have had for him to put of a thought in his mind to think that way?
I guess with no parental guidance, you know, he was just let loose on the poor public, as you saw on January 6th. And, you know, scumbag liking scumbag and admiring scumbag, you know, Lord and Pond scum. So this guy, DJ Rodriguez, pleaded guilty February, admitting that he battled law enforcement officers on the steps of the U.S. Capitol on January 6th and stunned former Washington police officer Mike Fanon in the neck before he stormed the building and smashed out a window. The government, in a sentence memo filed late Friday gone, sought 168 months in federal prison along with restitution in the amount of $98,927. And they say that Rodriguez's crime were acts of terrorism that deserve an upward departure from the sentencing guidelines. U.S. District Judge Amy Berman Jackson will sentence Rodriguez this coming June 21st. And Rodriguez, the defense attorneys wrote in a separate sentencing memo, quote, struggled to find a place where he felt he truly belonged, end quote. And, quote, found a cause that gives him his life meaning, end quote. So, you know, I mean, like I said, scumbag will always follow scumbag. Without proper parenting, you don't know how to behave in public. And this wild child, this lunatic, you know, stun gun, an officer of the law. And it just goes to show you that when Republicans and people of their ilk who said that they're pro-police and pro-law enforcement, it's not more a crock of bullshit, really. And
yeah.
When you became part of the Make America Great Again movement in California, Rodriguez saw Trump as a five-finger leader he never had in his life. So his attorneys wrote, adding that he trusted Trump blindly, admired Trump so much that he referred to Trump as daddy in messages he sent to Patriots 45 Magagan, a group on Telegram. Yeah, so this is not an ambitious freak show of a man. You know, Trump, you know, when he speaks, it's rhetoric and racist and xenophobic and homophobic and all sorts of phobic. How can you follow a scumbag like Donald Trump?
I'm going to go at it in a different way. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that, you know, serves whatever he gets, because he is responsible for his actions. Mr. Rodriguez is definitely responsible for his actions. But see, this is, I guess he is like a model of the type of people that are following this man, that are following Trump. They have basically no life. They don't have, probably don't have a lot of friends. They don't have a social life. They probably don't have a family unit that they can fall back on. And
mm-hmm.
when they find someone that speaks to them in their mind and something that they understand and makes them feel good, because the way he talked, you know, they were his patriots and saviors and, you know, they were going to save the country, it gave him something to look forward to, which is really sick.
Mm-hmm.
But if you think about it, mm-hmm. if you think about it, he's not the only one that's like that. A lot of these mm-hmm. MAGA Trumpers are the same way, and they're brainwashed because they are feeble-minded people. You know, they don't have mm-hmm. the thinking skills, the family unit, you know, the background, maybe the parents, you know, maybe the, mm-hmm. and I'm not mm-hmm. making it. I'm just saying that, you know, we have to think about all these things as well. What makes somebody so desperate mm-hmm. to want to support a man that you only see on television, that you will never talk to in life, you know, face to face, who give a crap about you, but you feel that he's talking to you? Think about that mentality for a moment. And there's a lot like
mm-hmm.
him. That's something,
mm-hmm.
and that's scary.
Mm-hmm.
It really is.
I know, and according to NBC News, this guy dropped out of high school, have low-level paying jobs so for the past
mm-hmm.
20 years, and he's not educated. He's, you know,
mm-hmm.
he's uneducated. He's Hispanic, a brown
mm-hmm.
person. So why in God's
mm-hmm.
name, after hearing Donald Trump speak about brown people and black people in a certain way, would you still support him? You know, nothing more than DJ Rodriguez is a low-life piece of shit. That's the only way you can describe the man, you know? And now
yeah,
his children are suffering because
yeah.
of his tomfoolery and stupidity.
Mm-hmm. And he went on to say he called himself so stupid and an F-word piece of S-H-I-T in an interview with
yeah,
the FBI.
Yeah, a fucking piece of shit.
Mm-hmm. Piece of pig. And he denigrated his own intelligence in a letter to Fanoni filed in court. Rodriguez, a moron, said he was a moron who was manipulated by Trump. I wish I were smarter, Rodriguez wrote. I want to apologize to your children as well. If I go back and change what I did, if I could go back and change what I did, I would. I hope it makes you feel better that I am going through a very, very tough time in jail. I'm sure that the police officer, it doesn't make him feel any better for what he went through and the trauma that he went through. No, I'm sure it doesn't. But this
mm-hmm.
Rodriguez, maybe after him, you know, he may have to spend 14 years in prison thinking about what he did, and maybe he'll come out a changed human being. I don't know. But we also have to think about the type of people that Trump gets his hands around their necks, so to speak, and strangles them until they believe him and follow him and do all these horrible things and think it's okay until, you know, that's just crazy. But it's happening.
Yeah.
It is happening.
Yeah. And his suffering didn't start just now, but, you know, for 2 years he was held in custody. And another two of his cohorts who helped him, one of them, his name is Kyle Young. He is a worker from Iowa. He got more than 7 years in federal prison in September gone. And, you know, this guy from Tennessee, his name is Albuquerque Head. I don't know what South America is, but, you know, he's from Tennessee. He got 7.5 years in federal prison last October. So Rodriguez was indicted alongside two court defendants, Ed Badelin and a man known online online as Swedish Scarf. Badelian was convicted on most charges in April last year and will be sentenced in mid-July, while Swedish Scarf, whose name has been redacted in court documents, but whose identity is known to the FBI, is believed to have fled the country. So not only did he get 7 years, but the stupid son of a bitch fled the country, which when the FBI find him, he's going to get even more years in prison. So again, people are not smart. They're not intelligent. They're a bunch of inbred, stupid morons, clowns, and they deserve what's coming to them, because America did not deserve this on January 6th. You know, the election was held. The people spoke, the Electoral College spoke, and because of their devotion to Trump, you know, where they were mesmerized, hypnotized, like how Hitler hypnotized the German people, you know, you reap what you sow.
Yeah.
You put bad shit out there,
you know,
karma will come back and bite in the ass tenfold.
I just can't express it enough that there is a population of people that for some reason or another are looking for a so-called hero, like a Superman. And for some reason, they have latched themselves on to this con man who they think is a Superman. And it's really sad that they don't see through him. And now they're all paying the price. Do you think that this man, that Trump will go visit any of these people in jail and tell them that he's sorry for what he did? Never. Never in a million years. Never.
And Donald Trump is the type of person who, if they're on fire, Donald Trump wouldn't even piss on them to put them out if they're on fire. So, again, you know, stop being stupid, MAGA people. You know, Donald Trump don't give a shit about you. And, you know, he didn't work from the bottom up and build his empire. His daddy gave him $400 million from the get-go. And within a decade, how ignorant and stupid and business and savage Trump is, he lost most of that fortune and all in taxes, which he hasn't paid in years. It's going to come out when Letitia James has her way. You know, and Donald Trump and his children stole from cancer charities for children. Who does that? You know, and what else? What else can I say about Trump? He had Trump Casino. How can you bankrupt a casino? Bankrupt a casino. That is so ridiculous. So when people talk about, oh, he was a savvy businessman. No, he was an idiot. You know?
No, he wasn't. He isn't.
Oh.
He wasn't. Good con man. Mm-hmm. He is good at one thing. He is a good con man.
Mm-hmm.
There is something about him, and he is a good con man. He knows how to manipulate people. He's good at it. That is his talent.
Mm-hmm.
Not that he's telling the truth when he's manipulating people, but he's telling them what they want to hear. Like I said, these are weaker-minded people. They're not, you know, and I think you have to be really educated in a, you know, to understand who he is, who Trump really is. You just have to pay it, I guess, or not need somebody like him as a figure, a father figure, or, a, you know, a mentor, you know, something like that. And mm-hmm. many people have fallen into that trap. We've seen it. Look at some of our, you know, MAGA reps. Look at, you know, McCarthy and all of them. I mean, look at them. Jim Jordan, look what he's doing. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're going to talk about that. But I'm just, you know, there is something about him. I don't know if they're afraid of him. I don't know if he's got secrets, you know, about, you know, these other Republicans that are serving right now in the House. I just don't. But there is something, and it will become uncovered. So
yeah,
let's just
and while their sugar daddy, Donald Trump, is out and about going to Scotland and Ireland and all over the world, and his private jet flying in luxury and avoiding justice, which coming to him soon, they'll be in prison for 7 years, 14 years, whatever amount of years, rotting. And Bubba, he's going to be Bubba's bitch, basically. You know, and well-deserved. You know, I'm so happy. He better not drop the soap too often because they're going to ass rape him so hard. And I'm, you know, I'm not for rape or anything, but, you know, like I say, you put bad karma out in the universe, it comes back tenfold. And him getting 14 years is justice. The American people deserve justice for the MAGA people who are uneducated or undereducated for going to the Capitol and trying to overtake and derail democracy, to put an autocrat and a stupid idiot like Trump. Now, I have this clip to play, and it was Lindsey Graham, senator from South Carolina, and he was, you know, justifying Donald Trump's behavior in the handling of classified documents. So he was on This Week with George Stephanopoulos. And it's a little bit lengthy, but it's worth listening in case, you know, people missed it earlier today. I want to play a great portion of it, even, you know, all of it, the whole 8 minutes. And we'll come back and talk about Lindsey Graham and other Republicans who are up for re-election and how they're kissing Donald Trump's ass and, you know, treating him like this, he's this god or something. It's very disgusting and very, very disturbing. Here it is.
To enforce all laws concerning the protection of classified information. We can't have someone in the Oval Office who doesn't understand the meaning of the word confidential or classified. Service members here in North Carolina have risked their lives to acquire classified intelligence to protect our country.
We are joined now by Senator Lindsey Graham of South Carolina, who's endorsed Donald Trump for president in 2024. Senator Graham, thank you for joining us this morning. Donald Trump has said repeatedly that he did nothing wrong. Do you believe that?
Well, here's what I believe. We live in an America where if you're the Democratic candidate for president, Hillary Clinton, Secretary of State, you can set up a private server in your basement to conduct government business. And when an investigation is had about your activity, no, let me finish.
But you didn't answer the question.
That was ridiculous. Well, yeah, I'm trying to answer the question from a Republican point of view. That may not be acceptable on this show. Yes, I don't like what President Trump did in certain aspects. I don't like that Joe Biden had classified information on the garage. I don't like that Mike Pence carelessly took classified information. I don't like any of that. But what I don't like is a system in America where the Secretary of State, who's a Democratic candidate for president, has people take a hammer to social media devices and break them apart, apply bleach bit to a hard drive to erase emails, allow classified information to get on a felon's computer, Anthony Weiner. You haven't even mentioned that. Most Republicans believe we live in a country where Hillary Clinton did very similar things and nothing happened to her. President Trump will have his day in court. But espionage charges are absolutely ridiculous. Whether you like Trump or not, he did not commit espionage. He did not disseminate, leak, or provide information to a foreign power or the news organization to damage this country.
Yeah, so let me just pause up there for a minute. You know, Lindsey Graham going off the handle and talking about Hillary Clinton and her emails. How many times has Hillary Clinton gone on Capitol Hill? 11-hour testimony. 12-hour, 14-hour testimony. without flinching, without pleading the fifth once. You get what I'm
exactly.
saying? They investigated woman repeatedly and nothing came up. They should take Hillary Clinton's name out of their mouths. They're not answering the goddamn question. Go ahead, Lori.
That's all that they have, David. That is all they have. They have nothing else. They have nothing else to fall back on. And they feel if they repeat that enough times, the people will catch on. They don't understand that we know that they're lying, you know, but there are some out there, we talked about a few minutes ago, that are going to believe Lindsey Graham. Lindsey Graham has a stake in this. I've got my life on it. He has a stake in this whole process of what's going to happen. It's going to be uncovered as well.
I know, as Joseph Goebbels said, the Reich Minister of Propaganda in Nazi Germany, repeat the lie over and over, and then eventually it will stick. And that's what Lindsey Graham is doing. And how does he explain, or he can't explain, hold on a moment, fine. How can he explain having Trump on recording saying that, you know, oh, this is what was planned, and, you know, this is how what it looked like, and, you know, showing regular people. You don't know if those people are spies, you know, and he jokingly said, oh, you know, I was willing to sell it. You know, you don't joke about shit like that. This is an offense in the United States.
No.
And for any person, whether Democrat, Republican, whoever, is irresponsible, and it just goes to show that you have no business being in the Oval Office as president. Donald Trump should be in prison. Yeah, go ahead.
He should. The other thing I
shouldn't
want to
be.
Say.
He should be.
George, George Stephanopoulos, when he asked the question, and Lindsey Graham got snotty with him, I don't think he should have allowed Lindsey Graham to continue his spew, because that's the problem. That's part of the problem in this country. The Republicans get nasty, and then whoever is interviewing, most of the time, not all the time, most of the time, they back down and they let them talk their BS garbage. That really kind of hurt. So I wish that he would have said, excuse me, that was not the question that I asked you. I want you to answer the question that I asked you. Hillary Clinton has nothing to do with this. Two different issues. You know, that's what I wish.
Yeah, the firm of these Republicans who try to bully you and everything. But anyway, more of this interview. Here it is.
He is not a spy. He's overcharged. Did he do things wrong? Yes, he may have. He will be tried about that. But Hillary Clinton wasn't. Your old boss committed perjury in a civil lawsuit, lost his law license, obstructed justice in a dozen ways, and he didn't get prosecuted. I know
he was impeached. He
wasn't prosecuted.
You've made your point, which you also said something that I believe is not true based on what's in the indictment. You said that he did not disseminate any of the information. In fact, there's an audio tape in the indictment where he's talking about the secret information, saying he knows it's secret, knows it's not declassified.
Okay, let's talk about that. I don't know what happened. I haven't heard the audio. But look at who's been charged under Espionage Act. Julian Assange, Edward Snowden, Chelsea Manning, people who turn over classified information to news organizations to hurt the country or provide it to a foreign power. That did not happen here. Donald Trump, you may hate his guts, but he is not a spy. He did not commit espionage. What he did is very similar, in my view, to what Hillary Clinton did. People in the Clinton case took a hammer to a BlackBerry and destroyed it. They wiped clean with bleach bit emails. They said they were all personal, but some of them actually were classified, and it wound up on Anthony Weiner's computer, and not a damn thing happened to her.
Senator, first of all, she was fully investigated. They found no intentional holding back. It was fine. Donald Trump was president for 4 years. He had a Justice Department in place for 4 years.
Right.
But setting that aside, there is an audio tape of Donald Trump saying he knows this is secret information. He knows he's sharing with other people. How is that okay?
I'm not saying it's okay. I'm not saying it's okay to take a hammer to a BlackBerry. I think none of this is okay. when Chris Coons, my good friend, will be on in a minute, when we view classified information, we have to sign in, go in the room, and turn it back over. You got vice presidents, secretary of states, and presidents handling this stuff. You had Bill Clinton with tapes in his sock drawer. I would like to review the system, but here's the point I'm trying to make. What's happening in Manhattan to Donald Trump has never happened to anybody in the history of New York. I think the espionage charges are completely wrong, and I think they paint an impression that doesn't exist. This is not espionage. And I do believe, George, that most people on my side of the aisle believe when it comes to Donald Trump, there are no rules, and you can do the exact same thing or something very similar as a Democrat, and nothing happens to you.
Hold on a second.
The leading candidate for president of the United States on the Republican side is being prosecuted by his opponent.
Had Donald Trump turned over the documents as Mike Pence did, and you heard our legal panel address that as well, we wouldn't be sitting here.
There would be no case.
There would be no case at all.
Well, I don't know if that's right. He believes he has the power to do that. He will argue the Presidential Records Act. I don't know if he's right or not. There'll be a trial about this, but I cannot.
It's your job, Lindsay, to know if he's right or wrong. And Trump is out of office and has no business. It's the property of the United States.
I stress to you now. Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God.
We live in a world today where most Republicans believe that Hunter Biden's laptop was real.
There we go. Oh, my God.
Real, but they know the public something else they have Joe Biden. We live in a world where it takes 4 years to investigate Hunter Biden, and you can go after Donald Trump in about 18 months. I know you don't get what I'm saying, but people on my side believe it, and I think Donald Trump is stronger today politically than he was before. I think the espionage charges are ridiculous. I think what happened to Hillary Clinton, where she got away with it, is very similar to what happened to President Trump, and we'll have an election and we'll have a trial. I promise you this, most Americans believe, most Republicans believe, that the law is used as a weapon against Donald Trump.
And I've heard that. I've heard your attack on President Biden. I've heard your attack on Hillary Clinton. I've heard your attack on Bill Clinton. What I've not heard from you is the defense of Donald Trump's behavior and why you think that's the kind of behavior you want to see in the President of the United States.
I'm not justifying his behavior. If it were up to me, nobody would take classified information.
But you're endorsing him for president of the United States. You're saying he should be president of the United States.
Yeah. I think what's happening here is trying to delegitimize him, is what I'm saying. The game has changed for future presidents. Bill Clinton, under the 2023 standard, would be prosecuted for perjury. All I can say is we're changed the game. You impeached him after he was out of office. Now you're bringing charges in Manhattan that are completely ridiculous. You're accusing the guy of being a spy through espionage. It's not going to change my support for Donald Trump. He's innocent until proven guilty. But what I'm trying to convey to you, and I'm sorry I'm not doing a better job, that most Republicans believe that the law now is a political tool, that Hunter Biden's laptop story was that the people in charge had their thumb on the scale, and that the reason it was not known to be true in October of 2024 before the election is the intelligence community wanted you to believe it was Russian disinformation when it wasn't. This double standard is real in the minds of most Republicans.
Senator, thank you for chiming in.
Okay, Lindsey Graham is a moron. He's up for re-election in South Carolina for U.S. Senate, and I hope South Carolina votes his ass out, and I hope somebody out of them from out of the closet. Come out of the closet, Lindsey, please. The number to call here, ladies and gentlemen, I want to hear from you, is 515-605-9802.
That was a disgraceful interview. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Why did they give him such air? Why? I mean, this is the problem in this country. They give these people, and they know they're lying out of their teeth when they're talking, and they still allow them to spew their lies. He let him go on and on and on. Yes, he did interrupt him a couple times. It made no difference. He did not answer anything that he asked. I would have asked him to leave. I would say, you know what?
Yeah, and the thing about it, Lindsey Graham, the way Donald Trump shit on him in 2016. You know, why is he kissing Donald Trump's ass? He has secrets for him, like you're saying. Do Russia have secrets for Lindsey Graham? A whole host of them, you know? And it's despicable that over and over, the people of South Carolina and other red states keep voting back these imbeciles in office. Because, you know, how did Hunter Biden's name come up? We're talking about Donald Trump. We should be focused on Donald Trump, but yet still, he's bringing up Hunter Biden. He's bringing up Joe Biden. He's bringing up Mike Pence. He's bringing up Hillary Clinton, Bill Clinton.
Yeah.
Come on. You have to have a higher standard.
The spotlight,
you know?
For how many years? Decades he's been out of the spotlight. Really? Come on.
Mm-hmm.
How stupid do they think American people are? How stupid do they think we are? It's all diversion. He's just trying to divert our attention onto something else. When we know that Jack Smith would not have done what he did and indicted him if he didn't think that he had a solid case and bring that case to Florida on top of it all.
Toby was found after a fire.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. And the next clip I'm going to play in a moment is what Donald Trump said in his first public remarks since federal indictment by Jack Smith. And again, he has no shame. He has no tact about him. And I can't wait for this rotten son of a bitch, Donald Trump, to be in prison. And the American people deserve it. You know, deserve better than Trump and any Republican. So here's the clip.
And Donald Trump making his first public appearance since that historic 37-count federal indictment against him was unsealed. No former president has ever been charged with felony crimes. Today, a defiant Trump lashing out at the Biden administration, accusing them of weaponizing the Department of Justice, calling his indictment a travesty of justice during a campaign stop in Columbus, Georgia. The 49-page indictment accusing the former president of putting the nation's security at risk, leaving highly classified documents in unsecured areas of his Mar-a-Lago estate. The indictment includes images of boxes allegedly stored in a ballroom, a bathroom, and a shower. And tonight, what we're learning about the former president's mood and how his GOP presidential rivals are reacting. We have team coverage, and ABC's senior investigative reporter Aaron Katursky leads us off in Miami.
Tonight, President Trump, defiant, campaigning for the first time since the unsealing of the historic federal indictment accusing him of mishandling some of the nation's closely guarded defense secrets.
He did absolutely nothing wrong. Presidential records act. He did it by the book.
Until now, no former president had ever been charged with committing felonies. Trump has been indicted twice in the last 2 months. The 49-page indictment from Special Counsel Jack Smith portrays a reckless former president who knew the law, knew he was breaking it, and tried to cover it up by refusing to return classified documents that contained sensitive information about the nuclear weaponry of the United States and the potential vulnerabilities of the country and its allies to military attack.
Our laws that protect national defense information are critical to the safety and security of the United States. And they must be enforced. Violations of those laws put our country at risk.
Stacks of boxes allegedly filled with sensitive documents that the indictment says Trump was not authorized to possess were found in a Mar-a-Lago ballroom, a bedroom, even a bathroom and shower. The contents of one carton, including what prosecutors say is a document marked secret, spilled onto the floor. Trump is accused of showing some of these documents to unauthorized people at least twice. Once, in July 2021, Trump allegedly showed a writer a plan of attack drawn up by the Pentagon. As president, I could have declassified it, Trump is quoted saying. Now I can't. A month or two later, Trump allegedly showed someone affiliated with his political action committee a map related to a military operation.
In my administration, I'm going to enforce all laws concerning the protection of classified information. No one will be above the law.
That was Trump in 2016, and he's quoted throughout the indictment. Trump allegedly directing his valet, who's also charged in this case, to move classified documents. "I don't want anybody looking," one of his attorneys quoted Trump as saying, "I don't want anybody looking through my boxes." When lawyers told him he had to comply with a subpoena seeking a return of classified material, Trump is quoted in the indictment saying, "Wouldn't it be better if we just told them we don't have anything here?" A lawyer also quoted Trump saying, "What happens if we just don't respond at all?" Trump is due here on Tuesday at Miami Federal Court to answer the charges. Security preparations are well underway. But Trump tonight says, "Whit, even if he's convicted in this case, he's not dropping out of the race for the White House." Whit?
Aaron Kuchersky in Miami. Thanks so much.
Yep. So there you have it. Trump being arrogant as usual and thinking he's above the law. And the chickens may come home to roost pretty shortly because Fannie Willis in Georgia in August, that case is going to be heard. It's and indictments is definitely going to drop in that case and everything. So with this obstruction case and espionage, you know, for espionage case, for each case that you lied, that is 5 years for each time you lied to at a congressional hearing or to the FBI. And for Trump to say, you know, what he said to his lawyers, we could tell them that it's not here, or we could tell them that, you know, they're not getting it. I mean, who is he? Do you think he's bigger than the constitutional law of the United States? You know, and the sheer arrogance of this pond scum, rat bastard Donald Trump, you know, to keep it after a year and a half, 18 months, you know, the archives, the presidential archives, were asking them to say, "Hey, this is not your property. This is the property of the United States, the people of the United States." You know, this is what happens when you don't have good parenting. You know, when you, like, be left to your own vices and everything. You know, when you don't have proper schooling, you know, you lack education. You don't have common sense. This is what happened. You got to Capitol Hill. You shoot police officers with stun guns and nail guns and things like that, and follow an ignoramus like Donald Trump. And he said, "This is why we can't get better in America, because the old racist people that follow Trump, you know, when they get screwed, then you know the ask for forgiveness and what have you. No, you're not going to get forgiveness. What you get is serious prison time to make an example out of you. And pretty soon, your Lord and Master Trump will get the same treatment and everything." Okay, well, I've called lineup. Well, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 calls lineup. We're going to take each of them. 515-605-9802, the number to call. This is Kitchen Politics 123. I'm David Franklin, and Laurie is in Michigan. And the first call is from Susan, Michigan. Hello, Susan. Welcome to Kitchen Politics. What's cooking?
How are you guys doing?
Good. How are
good,
you?
Good. Just annoyed and aggravated.
Oh, God, yeah. It's ridiculous. Off. It is really ridiculous. And to hear McCarthy and Jordan Graham saying, "Oh, he might have done some little things wrong, but, you know, this is a witch hunt." Baloney, you know? And I keep on saying, follow the money. That's the only reason they're backing him. Because the only reason they're in office is because they got paid, you know, off by big business that also, you know... So if they would say anything against Trump or do any kind of regulations on big business or tax the big business, they'd be out of office, right?
Not only that.
It's all a vicious circle there. They're supporting each other because they want to stay where they're at, making money. Like you said, they go in poor and they come out rich. Even that judge that is in Florida, you were mentioning how she's worth millions now. Where the hell did she get her money, right?
Yeah, Judge Cannon.
Yeah. So I'm worried about that.
Yeah. The other thing that I think about is, you know, like Jim Jordan, Lindsey Graham, Bobart, and Marjorie Toilet Greene, you know, at Gates. I think all of them somehow are, and I have no proof, course, but this is just my feeling. They are connected in a way that they can be implicated, like maybe with the January 6th, you know, or they knew about the documents. Who, you know, we really don't know. But the way that they defend him makes me feel like they're doing it because they're trying to save their own skin. Well, that's how I feel. Because sometimes,
you know, Laura,
I've
corrected right there. Laura, listen, they had to know what was going on, because why else would Matt Gaetz, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Boebert, and the Biggs, and whoever wanted a presidential pardon? Why? For what reason? You know?
No, you're absolutely right. I'm trying to say that. They had to have been involved, and they knew everything that was going on. And they could have also arranged it, you know, January 6th. And now they are covering for him because they're somehow connected. As we feel they're connected, allegedly, we have to say, connected, and trying to save their own skin at this time. That's what I think they're all going to do. It's a twofold thing. You know, they save him, they save themselves. He goes down, they go down. You know?
Yes, yes. So, I want to bring in Elaine from Michigan. Elaine, hello. Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Lori. I didn't, sorry.
No, that's, go ahead, Elaine. Hi, Elaine.
No, you can finish, Larry. Go ahead, finish.
Oh, I finished. That's okay. Go ahead.
Okay. I ran across something very interesting today. There was at least, I didn't count them, but there, it looked like there was about 10 boxes of confidential documents in a porta potty. In a porta potty. Now, that was on Mar-a-Lago's grounds. I'm wondering, was there a schedule to pick up that porta potty, and what kind of documents were in those boxes?
Wow.
That's my big question. You know, porta potty, you call the company or somebody, and they come with a truck, and you pick it up, and nobody thinks anything of them picking up a porta potty.
Right.
I'm pretty interested.
The more that's coming out, the sicker I'm getting. I mean, it's just gut wrenching.
It is.
So imagine if a Democrat did half of what Donald Trump did, they'd been jailed awaiting trial. You know, what's with the double standards and hypocrisy? Why hasn't authorities have Trump in ball and chain awaiting trial in jail somewhere? You know, we'll have to make an example.
I'm beginning
of
to think that it didn't change from Nixon. I really do not. As I sat and analyzed it all day today by watching different news reports and seeing the picture that I saw, I do not think it changed from Nixon. They just got meaner and shrewder. And I guess that's such a word. And they got greed. Their greed is just out of control. Greed for money and power.
Exactly.
It seems like then we had the wool pulled over our eyes with Reagan. Reagan was popular by even Democrats. Well, there's a lot of Democrats voted for that bastard.
And then
he found out that he was no good for this country.
Yeah.
And then it seems like it got progressively worse from Nixon.
Yeah. Let's bring in Khalil from the Commonwealth of Virginia. Hello, Khalil. What's your input tonight on what's going on with the whole espionage case against Donald Trump and obstruction of justice? What's your take?
It doesn't surprise me. Because, like, they probably, if the Democrats would do it, they probably would use that to prove a point, like they did with the border crisis, like they did with the Fast and the Furious, and like they do with other stuff. They don't see, they use the stuff against the Democrats to excuse themselves or to make a point. And it doesn't come off like anything but hypocrisy. Like, when you looked at the border crisis and you looked at the Fast and the Furious crisis, they only wanted to prove a point. They didn't actually care. I don't know if you if you remember what I mean by the Fast and the Furious or not.
Yeah, about guns coming across from Mexico or going over to Mexico for the gangs and everything and the wreak havoc on the border and the drug trafficking and what have you. Yes, I remember
it
that
made
case.
Me so mad. It made me so mad that the NRA and DOA and Larry Pratt and Wayne LaPierre covered it because they didn't actually care. And Alex Jones sure didn't actually care. They just wanted to prove a point.
Yes, indeed.
And NRA had no business covering it because basically they shamelessly accused the chief in Texas of exploiting his officers when his officers were killed by a gun. And if that had been fact to it and NRA wasn't the one that was – and NRA wasn't doing the same thing, I wouldn't mind. But considering the NRA was doing the same thing and considering this guy actually cared, to accuse someone that actually cares about their people of exploiting someone when you don't actually care, that's shameful itself. It doesn't make you look good to accuse. It doesn't make you look good to always. It doesn't make you look good to always accuse someone of exploiting something. Sometimes it makes you look like an asshole too.
Yes, man. So another thing that's been happening.
It reminds me of two kids fighting, you know. My brother did it. I didn't do it. I didn't break that lamp. The other guy did. And that's what the Republicans are doing. They don't take a responsibility for what they did. They blame other people, throw it on someone else, make up other stuff that they did so they don't get in trouble.
Yeah, man. So another thing that's been going on lately is McCarthy. Speaking of McCarthy, struck a temporary deal with conservative rebels, ending the blockade on the House floor. It prevented the House voting on a series of bills last week. Warned that they would bring the chambers to a halt again if spending isn't cut further. What more do Matt Gaetz and all these rebels, the so-called rebels, want? Because cutting taxes and cutting spending, it's just...
Go ahead,
Lori.
I was just going to say what they want is more tax cuts for the rich. That's what they want. That's what's going to be in that. That is what they're going to discuss this week coming up. They want more tax cuts for the rich. That's what they want. They're not going to get it. That's what they want.
Yes.
And you know why they want
that?
And you know why they want that? Because the rich and the corporations are supporting them. And they want, the corporations want regulation cut back, they can pollute all they want, railroad regulations, oil regulations, bank regulations. They want to reverse all that. And those corporations are paying those senators and the Republicans to keep the regulations reversed. So it's all money. It's all about the money and power.
And Monday, Congressman Ralph Norman, Republican from South Carolina, confirmed that the Gang of 11 would now vote yes on the new rules that will allow package of messaging bills, two to protect gas stoves, another regulatory bill, and a fourth to protect pistol stabilizing braces. To come to the floor later this week. None of the bills are likely to pass in the U.S. Senate. So, again, they wasted 1 week of doing absolutely nothing. And this coming week, they're going to do important things that may die in the Senate. I mean, that's not working on behalf of the American people. It's working on behalf of corporations and rich individuals. And it's wasting people's time. What are we paying these people for? And the Conservative Freedom Caucus... who's a member, Norman, this guy Ralph Norman from South Carolina, I quote, "We aired our issues. We want to see this move forward as a body. The floor will be functioning this week," Matt Gaetz said. He's one of the ringleaders in a gang of 11. But Norman Gaetz and others said that the group is still concerned that a debt ceiling deal McCarthy cut with President Biden warned that they could gum up other GOP bills if spending isn't cut further in the upcoming appropriations process. And, quote, "We're concerned about the economic security of this country, and to that end, we will work," Norman said. "If we don't have that, there's going to be a fight. There's a lot more fights down the road." So, again, mm-hmm. it's about tax cuts for the rich and tax cuts for corporations who don't pay any taxes, who think this trickle-down mm-hmm. economics is going to work. It hasn't worked since Herbert Hoover. It hasn't worked since Ronald Reagan. It got worse. You know, so why do people vote for idiots like this? Why?
I don't understand. And what have the Republicans done for us? Anything? They had, how many, what, 4, 5, 6 years to work on health care? They want to reverse, you know, Obamacare, but they don't have anything to replace it. All they think about is cut Medicare, cut Medicaid, in important things that will help our country.
Social security.
Even mm-hmm. infrastructure. It's amazing that Biden got that passed. But, you know, look at that road that collapsed in Philadelphia today. That needs work. And they don't even have bypass in case something happens to the road. They have to go way out of their way to go to detour on that. I mean, our railroads suck. If you go look at European or Chinese railroads in Japan, they're way better than ours. They said they had something like 500 and some derailments this year, just this
mm-hmm.
year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, why mm-hmm. can't – they never talk about fixing stuff like that, do they?
No.
Only reversing
never
regulations that help give money to the railroads that don't take care of them. What about utilities? Mm-hmm. You see houses blow up because they got pipelines that are over 100 years old, or sinkholes. Mm-hmm. They even happened in Warren, where I used to live. They fell right, you know, houses fall in because the pipes break because they never replace them. Mm-hmm. They put them in once and they never repair them. So, that's mm-hmm. all wrong, but they never say they're going to do any of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. It's just atrocious, these Republicans.
Yep.
They're useless.
You're absolutely right. Mm-hmm. You know, and they pretend they're concerned, you know, about the debt ceiling, and they're, you know, concerned about nothing. That's what they're concerned about, nothing. They really are. It's mm-hmm. all a game with them. And, I mean, how else can we expose these people, these ruthless people, for who they really are?
Yeah, like they won't do the laws that, you know, what they can sell stock, buy and sell stock, insider per trading and all that. They're
mm-hmm.
supposed to look at that regulation. They haven't done crap on that. You know, it's all about them and the money.
They have no intentions of doing anything about that, not the Republicans.
No,
and we've
got
to put pressure on the Democrats. When they're in power, we want to get rid of inside trading. Our trading, and we've got to put the pressure on even our own Democrats.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah.
It's time. It's time has come.
Best time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they've got all kinds of perks. They have all kinds of wonderful medical care, etc. And when they get it, they can turn on us just as much as the Republicans. It's time we speak up. We are the people.
Mm-hmm.
They should have the same health care and benefits that we have. And we got crap, so they get crap.
Yes.
Exactly. And look how quickly that will change. Because in Europe, they have a great health care system. Tons better, way better than ours. You know? And, you know, it's just in Canada too, exactly. Most of Europe have great insurance, health insurance. But I want to talk a little bit about Carrie Lake. She was speaking in Georgia recently at this Republican event, fundraising event. Carrie Lake, the failed gubernatorial candidate for Arizona, the ultra-MAGA idiot who refused to concede the election and still fighting the election result for the governorship of Arizona. She lost, and she won't get over it. So Carrie Lake said recently, quote, "If you want to get to President Trump, you'll have to go through me and 75 million Americans just like me, and most of us are card-carrying members of the NRA. That's not a threat. That's a public service announcement." So she don't think liberals have guns, though. She don't think progressives have guns. You know, she's pushing violence, the rhetorical bullshit that comes out of her mouth. Mm-hmm. You know, her ass must be jealous that her mouth, you know, can speak such bullshit and speak it so eloquently. Well, I don't know what the people of Arizona are thinking, nominating her to be in governorship to begin with. Go ahead.
The thing that bothers me is that, you know, Carrie Lake, all these others are coming out and they're saying all these threatening things. And we know that there are people out there, like Rodriguez, that hangs on their words. And Rodriguez, of course, we know got caught, and he's going to probably go to prison. And many of the other January 6th MAGAs are going to prison. But what I'm saying is that this should not be allowed. She should get a call from the Secret Service or the FBI or somebody that says, you know what, tone it down, or I don't know what they can do to her, but just tone it down and scare her and keep doing every single one that goes on there and talks about, you know, it's time, we're not going to take this, you know, stand down, all this crap. You know, they are fueling the fire, and they want destruction in this country. They want a fight in this country. That's what they want. They want that.
Well, they're hoping for a riot down in Florida. They're already, they're guarding the courthouse for tomorrow, and there's people out there already protesting. That's inciting a riot or inciting violence. That's against the law, isn't it? That's what they're going to get asshole for next, for the, you know, the riots at the Capitol building. You know, that's inciting a riot, and he's liable for that, too. But Carrie Lake and the rest of them should be tried, too, for that.
Well,
they want to protest
Lake
at the courthouse. I hope that whatever they do, I hope they're peaceful. But it doesn't look like they're going to be peaceful.
Well, yeah, and then you got Carrie Lake saying you got to go through us, and we are NRAs, right?
Whether we agree with them or not, they have the right to put up a protest.
But
even
peacefully,
though we think it's crazy, even though we know that Donald Trump has done these things and he should be punished for it, they do have a right to protest. So let's be careful with how we want to strike back. Because when we want to protest, we will protest also.
No, there's nothing wrong with protest. It's inciting a riot, like what happened in D.C. That's what is against the law. You know, go out there. It's going to be wild. Bring your guns. We are NRA members. You got to go through 75 million of us. And that's not a threat. That's a promise. You know, what the hell?
To begin with, they broke in. That was trespassing. Trespassing on the people's house.
And to get there, they beat the crap out of the cops.
On the floor, and pissing on the floor and wiping, smearing shit all over the Capitol building and using flagpoles as weapons and tasers and even bear spray. Friggin' bear spray! You know, that thing
could
be a big 500-pound bear and a cop who's trying to do his job and everything. You know, and they won't have the audacity to say that they're law and order. When you have down in Georgia, Georgia law enforcement posing with Donald Trump when he came down there to the courthouse for whatever he was down there for. And these white police officers, law enforcement officers, posing with him with thumbs up and smiling. You know, if that were Barack Obama, they'd probably try to beat him to death. You know, I don't know. Americans are all fucked up because of Republicans. Lori, you're saying something?
I was just trying to see that if in Florida it's legal to protest, because for some reason that rang a bell, and I'm just trying to read right now.
You're right.
Here
it
goes. It says the department
was illegal to protest.
The Department of Management Services published a Florida administrative code rule February the 14th, allowing law enforcement more discretion to remove protesters. And this was from the Capitol building in Tallahassee, I believe, and charged them with trespassing. Now, I'm just wondering if the Satan will do anything tomorrow if they are protesting and causing trouble at the courthouse.
It depends on who's protesting, doesn't it?
That's what I'm trying. That's my point that I'm trying to make.
Uh-huh.
Will they, you know, will they make a deal out of it if it's the MAGAs that are, or,
I'll put book,
you know,
on it and I'll win, because I don't think he's going to do anything about it as long as it's the
no.
MAGAs protesting.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So I kind of feel, and it also says here we go. This was on CNN. This was updated in May of 22. DeSantis signs bill banning protests outside of any residence. So let's see,
DeSantis, you are an attorney. Anything is legal until it's challenged in court. So therefore, you wrote the law. Are you going to enforce it on your MAGA people?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I just wonder how far they're going to take this, you know. It's very interesting to me, because I just want to see how they're going to handle it tomorrow.
Lori, do you really think they're going to handle it?
No, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I'm Yeah, exactly. It's not going to get handled, you know.
No.
It's just going to, you know, whatever happens, happens there. Unless it gets violent, then the police have to take care of it, I'm sure.
So what
you know.
We do is, after this is over and they do what they do, we call them out for it. That they passed the law against, they figured, Democrats, but it's okay for them. So we call them out for the hypocrites that they have become.
Yep, they sure are. Absolutely are. It's just, like I said, if you're not paying attention, you don't see all of this. But you have to pay attention. You have to care, you know. It's so frustrating. It really is.
It is.
It's hard to keep track of what's going on. It really is.
So much things
happening. To the point, it's getting very hard to keep track of what's going on. Right now, I'm trying my darndest to just focus on the 37 indictments.
Yes. And people seem to ignore what Jamal Khashoggi was investigating when he was murdered, when he was writing about Jared Kushner's alleged turning over of classified info to MBS, who then used that to hunt down, arrest, and murder opponents in Saudi Arabia. So MBS has a financial relationship with Donald Trump and AMI. So the investigation has been reopened. We're investigating what possible motives Jamal Khashoggi, you know, why he was murdered. And the human suffering and death means nothing to Trump. One Trump matters to Trump. And many of us who have been thinking exactly the same thing, that he struck up some deal with the Saudis and gave them state secrets for $2 billion, him and Jared Kushner.
Yep.
I'll never understand so many have not been outraged and open up investigations. How can Americans even think of participating in even LiveGov? And it seems that greed is the answer in most of these circumstances. When money is involved, then to hell with decency. You know. You heard about Live Golf, where the PGA teamed up with them and everything. Even though Saudi Arabia is continuing with the human rights violations of people like Jamal Khashoggi and against women's rights and all that stuff, and the PGA actually teamed up with Live Golf to have tournaments and everything, knowing full well there's no rights in Saudi Arabia. Republicans ignore this, but kept talking about Biden and China. Biden and China, what's going on with Biden and China? The national secrets of Trump, what national secrets did Trump share? You know, you'd think Republicans would care about their pocketbooks more than anything else, while offering thoughts and prayers. You know, to hell with your thoughts and prayers. Investigate Trump. Whether you're Democrat, Republican, stop the hypocrisy. You know, and you can't say you're pro-life when you're pro-death. You know,
Biden and China. Wasn't it Reagan that woke up the sleeping giant and cut the first deals with China?
Yep. And Richard Nixon opened trade with China when he went, the first U.S. president to visit China. You know.
Mhm.
Yeah. There's nothing funny about treason, you know, and I think Trump is not above selling all our country for personal.
And that's when
they
sent all our businesses over there because they worked for nothing, so they built the cars there and everything. So those deals made China what it is today.
Do you know what I found online, and it's factual? Kia and what's that other Korean company that has the assembly plants in Eufaula, Alabama, has been hiring, they've been sort of forcefully working children in their plants. They go to the migrant working areas where the farmlands in those areas, and they ask parents who need some extra money, and then they have the kids work the night shift so nobody knows, and they've had kids as young as 12 years old working in those factories.
I know.
Yes, that was in Indiana and Arkansas that happened. Yes.
Well, I ran across it in Alabama, Alabama and Mississippi. It was the Kia plant.
Pat on ABC News tonight talking about the new law that allows 14, 15 year olds to work up to 20 hours a week.
Yep. Crazy.
Yeah, but this is taking kids and this is working them 8, 10, 12 hours at night because
they are
migrant workers. And they're paying them cash and they're paying them peanuts. And we're talking the automobile industry.
That's terrible. That's terrible.
And meat packing, too. Remember that?
Yes.
Yes, I do. I remember that very well. Very
but now
sad.
They state they're making it official that 14, 15-year-olds can work as much as 20 hours a week. And,
it's Arkansas
what's going to happen. They're going to do jobs they're not supposed to. I mean, they shouldn't be in bars serving drinks, but it could be a lot worse than that. And it will be.
Can we still on air? They can be in bars serving drinks, but the children can't go to story hour because somebody is dressed in drag.
I know.
And that's going to hurt the children. But a child can work in a bar with the smoke, and a lot of them still allow the smoking. The smoking and the carrying ons that go in a bar.
Listen,
it just makes me want to go to church. I'm being sarcastic.
Yeah, the thing is, the Republican philosophy is protect the child in the womb, and as soon as the child come out, to hell with them, they're on their own, and, you know, raging lunatics come out, shoot them in elementary school level, and the Republicans and NRA send their thoughts and prayers. You know, it's
Did
just
you
a whole hypocrisy.
The only trial that they protect after a battle, the wound is their own. They're selfish.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but yet still, some people still reelect them. You can look at New Mexico, for example. This guy, Frederico Pena, or I don't remember, his last name is Pena, this lunatic who's been in jail, in prison for 7 years for grand larceny, automotive theft, physical assault, and other things, long rap sheet. And when he came out, he was a devout Trump supporter. And, you know, I don't put it past Republicans if they did a background check or not, I don't know. But that chose this man, Pena, to run for city commissioner. He lost pretty badly. And the candidates in other races who was on his ticket with him were also Trump supporters, lost. Democrats won. And you know what this guy Pena did? He paid a couple people, thugs, to go to these Democrats' house who beat him and other Republicans and shoot up their houses. One child, a 12-year-old child, was almost hit, you know, because his opponent beat him so bad, he was embarrassed, and he's talking about, oh, fraudulent elections, it was fixing, you know, there's ballot stuffing and what have you, all sorts of garbage. The usual thing you hear from Donald Trump himself, you know, but what gives him the right and others the right to drive by people's homes and to shoot at a place like this is the Wild West? You know, this is where we're reaching America.
David, did he have his day in court yet? Had he gone to court for that?
Yes. He's been indicted. I think it was 2 or 3 days ago where the federal court indicted him. So he's going to go on trial soon and everything. And hopefully he gets the rest of his life in prison because this is unacceptable.
Yeah.
This is supposed to be the bastion of democracy. And the world look up to us in terms of, you know, democracy and what have you. I don't have, you know, clowns, losers, like this Solomon Pena person, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And we'll have a Kerry Lake in this world from Arizona. And who God knows whoever else. There's so much of them, you know, you can have a whole, you know, week-long show about who Republicans really are. It is so gross and make me sick to my stomach that we resort to gun violence because we lost an election.
Yep.
Come on, man.
Yep.
Do better, Republicans.
I know.
And the normal Republicans who out there sitting back and idly not saying anything, stand up for your party, but better yet, stand up for your country because democracy is fragile. And what they did in January 6, 2021, they're going to try again after 2024 elections when they lose even, you know, worse. Because America is not going to put up with the shit. You know, the pattern is. You know, in Tennessee, for example, Marsha Blackburn, U.S. Senator, she's on the ropes there because, you know, she's talking about family values and Christian principles and what have you. But yet still, she endorsed a loser and a sexual assaulter like Donald Trump. And what the House tried to do to those three people in expelling them, The lady in that, the minority leader of the House, thinking about running against Marsha Blackburn for United States Senate in next fall's election in 2024. And I hope she gets a Democratic nomination because people like Marsha Blackburn has to go. She's trying to rule by decree, by religious decree. And this is not Iran. If you want that, go to goddamn Iran. This is America. Freedom of speech, freedom of religion. If you want to be an atheist, like Kristen Sinema, the U.S. Senator, independent from Arizona, you know, be an atheist. Be who you are and be comfortable in who you are, you know, and don't try, you know, ram this religious crap down people's throats. It's not going to work. It never did,
it's
and it never
It's in the Constitution, separation of church and state. That's what we were founded on, but they forget all about that. What state just passed a law that they will use public funds for private schools? I forget which one it is. They just passed a law for religious schools using public tax money. That's ridiculous.
They call
I know
them
they're
academy.
Doing it, you know, DeVos
they call them chartered schools. They're already doing it.
vouchers, but this is full out taxes going to the school.
They build a school in the same district that your kids are going to, and they get funding for it. They call them chartered schools. It's all through Michigan. It's pretty much in all 50 states. I think it's almost 35 states that have chartered schools. And then they've got the next dollar.
They're calling them right now. I mean, right out their tech, you know, they're not even calling them charter schools. They're just, you know, whatever school they'll fund them. That's it. I don't get this at all. I mean, it's all screwed up.
And you'll notice that your churches were the first ones to say they wanted chartered schools. Why? Because they didn't know how to run a school.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They wanted
they don't have regulations. They don't have the same standards or anything. They don't have the same tests and all that. So when they graduate, you don't know what, you know, level the kids are at. I know my nephew wanted to be a teacher for 5 minutes, and he got a student teaching thing at a Jewish school, and the parents put the pressure on him and the school to give the kids A's so they can get into U of M or whatever schools. And he goes, I'm not giving them grades. They got to earn their damn grades. And he quit.
Mm-hmm.
He walked out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, Lori, what's next on the agenda for tonight's show?
Oh, let me see here. In Georgia, the Georgia Republican Party has elected Brian Pritchard to be its first vice chair. He claims the 2020 election was stolen from Trump while he is currently under criminal investigation for voting illegally 9 times while serving a felony sentence. And he is going to be the Republican Party's vice chair. Enjoy.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yes, really.
Oh, my God.
It's truly. He was accused, and here's a little bit about him. This is how insane this country has become. He was a conservative North Georgia talk show host, a candidate for the state house who rails against election fraud, allegedly voted illegally 9 times while serving a felony sentence in a $33,000 forgery theft case, the state official said. I mean, how is all this possible? And now he is going to be a chairperson in Georgia. I mean, what planet do we live on?
Well, what about the Proud Boys that were the chair people and the 7 people underneath the chairman in Florida of the Republican Party?
Yeah. I mean, it's just crazy, you know.
It's a gift that keeps on giving, isn't it?
Yes,
indeed.
It is. And then also, David, I sent you this link. You should have it there at the bottom. And it's a live update of what's going to be happening tomorrow in Florida. First of all, banning electronic devices for media at the Miami courthouse. The former president will be at the federal courthouse in Miami tomorrow and deliver remarks from his golf club in Bedminster, New Jersey, later in the night.
Mm-hmm.
So he's going to go and get indicted for this fake, you know, these fake charges that are against him. And then he's going to go to Bedminster in New Jersey and make comments, you know, of course, and say how innocent he is. Let's put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
The former President Donald Trump traveled from New Jersey to Miami today to appear for his arraignment in federal court tomorrow. We'll head back to New Jersey to deliver remarks from his golf club at Bedminster later Tuesday. A U.S. District Judge Eileen Cannon, a Trump appointee who previously ruled in his favor of over how the document should be handled will oversee the case, guiding how quickly it goes to trial, the selection of jurors, and what evidence can be presented to the jury. Magistrate Judge John Goodman will oversee the arraignment. A federal judge tonight said members of the media prohibited from bringing cell phones or other electronic devices into the courthouse where Trump is scheduled to be arraigned. Trump's
what happened to transparency?
Good question. I thought we were all going to be able to watch it. Trump's indictment hasn't significantly changed how Republicans view him, a pair of polls indicate. Well, of course. And then the Mike Mayor says, we are prepared for any demonstrations tomorrow. In an interview with NBC News, Thomas Lamas, Miami Mayor Francis S. Suarez, said the city is ready for any level of protest or demonstrations around the Trump arraignment tomorrow. We are prepared. Suarez, a Republican who has teased a 2024, presidential bid, said, asked about Miami police.
Listen, Judge Cannon, if you don't excuse yourself on the bench in this case, there's this case, United States versus Turkington, that the government successfully argued that the case should be reassigned, and the 11th Circuit Court ruled that the defending judge has demonstrated great difficulty in putting aside the prior conclusions about the merits of this prosecution, and the reassignment is necessary to preserve the appearance of impartiality. And this Judge Cannon is not impartial because she went around in 2016 and 2020 wearing Donald Trump paraphernalia, caps, baseball caps and scarves and flags and what have you. So how can she oversee a case that could possibly put him behind bars for the rest of his life? That's a conflict of interest.
It is, absolutely, and we did talk about that last night. It is absolutely a conflict of interest, and it does worry me. It really does worry me because I'm not sure that she can be impartial. Now, you know, her wealth now is, I think I read, $10 million. And she's only been on the bench for 2 years, so, you know. That's a scary thing. And here's an article about Eileen Cannon. David, you have it as well. It's by MSNBC. And it says, don't assume Eileen Cannon gets fired from the Trump's documents case. Cannon became a household name last year for all the wrong reasons. Her erroneous rulings for Donald Trump during the classified documents probe, giving him special treatment because he's a former president, led an all-Republican appellate panel to smack down her legal reasoning. In an absurd twist of fate, the Trump-appointed judge has been assigned to preside over the resulting prosecution in Florida federal court. David, you'll have to go on. I have a tickle in my throat. I'm sorry.
I'm trying to look for that, what you're reading and everything. Oh, okay. So, given Cannon's prior devious involvement, she must be recused, but not necessarily. The federal law provides that a judge, quote, shall disqualify himself in any proceedings in which his impartiality might be reasonably questioned. Cannon, a self-proclaimed textualist, could read those simple words and settle the matter by taking herself off the case. Putting aside that the hyper-textualized reading of the line would exempt female judges, given the reference to himself. So an examination of the circuit court law suggests kicking Cannon off the case is possibly but not a foregone conclusion. And if she doesn't, and prosecutors press the issue, then we can look at precedents from the 11th Circuit Court of Appeal that the court rejected her rulings as special master litigation. While Trump, his case was unprecedented, an examination of circuit cases law suggested that kicking Cannon off the case is possibly, but not a foregone conclusion. Like I said, Turkington versus the United States, I gave it the example of where 11th Circuit Court came in and took a court, the judge off a case because of conflict of interest. So another case has been cited for ditching Cannon, and that's the United States versus Martin. As it happens, it was handled by MC legal analyst Joyce Vance, when she was on a federal prosecutor in Alabama, which is also covered by the 11th Circuit Court. The judge in Martin's case was reversed multiple times on an issue of the defendant's sentencing. The appeals court cited that repeat issues in a criminal case, as well as a judge's imposition of skewed sentences in other cases. So again, we see a possible difference between Trump's case at this stage on prior precedent, in that reassignments have followed a judge's action in a particular case are involved in discrete issues such as sentencing in a Martin case. So as the 11th Circuit Court put in another reassignment case, that case was the United States versus Gupta, referring to Martin and Turkington respectively. Quote, reassignment is necessary when a district judge adheres to erroneous views after multiple remands, or when a judge questions the wisdom of the law, they have to apply and challenges the government decision to prosecute a particular defendant. So, you know, absent further apparent conduct by Judge Cannon, whether her unhinged ruling in the civil litigation apply to the reassignment at this stage, it would be crucial for the outcome of any recusal challenge. You know, so she acted the fool in the litigation trial, and she was biased and obviously didn't know what she was doing or saying or how to interpret the law. So that should just automatically disqualify her from, you know, taking up this case. And she was a decent human being. She would recuse herself, and another judge would step in who is impartial and, you know, interpret the law how it should be interpreted. So to be sure, none of these foreclosures and reassignments for Cannon, whose impartiality has been and will be questioned, it just shows that it isn't guaranteed at this point that they'll, you know, change her, the 11th Circuit Court. So we'll see how it plays out. And if she's going to shenanigans again, that's when the 11th Circuit Court come in and do due diligence and remove her from the bench and put in another judge who's impartial, you know.
And I also think that Jack Smith has already thought about the scenario here. I am sure he's well aware, you know, when they decided to do the, you know, do the indictment, I am sure that that Jack Smith was aware of, you know, Judge Cannon, and they probably have, I know they have a backup plan. We talked about the backup plan last night. I don't know if you remember, but we did.
Yeah.
And I hope that they don't need the backup plan, but I trust Jack Smith will do whatever he needs to do to make sure that the case is presented properly and this judge, you know, doesn't mess it up, so to speak. So.
She will. I mean, she has to, or she might get kicked off the bench, you know, two times you're out, you know. It's such a big case. Everybody is watching. So if she screws this up, I don't think she's got a prayer. And we got the other court to override her. So she's under the spotlight and under the gun right now.
And you know, she does not have the experience as well. I don't know, you know, why she feels that she has enough experience to go up against Jack Smith. You know, I mean, you know what I'm trying to say, to be a judge over this case. I just don't see how she, you know, can even think about that. She should. If she has any sort of due diligence for herself, she should step down. She really should. She should just step down and say, you know, you know, and just step down. I mean, she doesn't even have to give a reason. But I don't think that, you know.
If she's smart, she will.
Yeah.
If not,
for real,
you know,
for real.
Why would you want to put yourself in that place, you know? I don't know enough, and I'm biased, and the whole world's watching. So why would I do this?
Yeah,
yes, this is Kitchen Politics 1-3.
To see, anyways.
This is Kitchen Politics 1-3. The number to call is 515-605-9802. Please say first name and where you're calling from. Please don't talk over the course. Visit our website, kitchenpolitics123.com. We'd love to hear from everybody. And thanks for calling and sharing across social media. Eric from Michigan, hello. Welcome to the show. What's cooking?
Hey, everybody. How's it going?
Good, Eric.
How are you?
Great. Glad I had time to tune in this time.
Yeah, good. I'm glad. Go ahead.
I'm just saying that, you know, here as usual, just let's take notes from our top Democratic officials. Whitmer had launched a campaign to help boost the Biden-Harris administration and top Democrats. So just keeping my people aware, just be on that.
When it's time, we're all going to be on top of that. Absolutely.
Great.
I want to ask you, what do you think is going to happen tomorrow, Eric, in Florida?
You know what? I think that, and see, because I joined the conversation late, were you guys talking about the indictments and the investigations and all that?
Yes.
You know, tell you the truth, I question if anything's even going to happen tomorrow. I mean, they've been kind of dragging some of this stuff out. I mean, this is stuff that a lot of the stuff they should have jumped on a long time ago. Like I said, the first three things that should have been hit immediately were the obstruction of justice with firing the FBI director, James Comey, the going after the January 6th, that, and then also the phone call made to the Georgia secretary, which I think would probably be easier to go after because that was something that we all heard on audio. I mean, we can actually still pull that up. The entire phone call can be heard and you pull up on YouTube on, I think, MSNBC and CNN probably have the record. I mean, that's the things that they should have gone after. There really is no telling what's going on tomorrow because as of right now, that's kind of up in the air. You know, I've been packed with work stuff earlier, so I didn't have time to follow hardly anything today. But, I mean, I really at this point, I wouldn't say expect anything.
Yeah, he'll be indicted tomorrow, and then he's going to go to his golf course in Westminster, New Jersey, and do some more lies. That's what he'll do.
I would put it past.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
Oh, okay. I had heard something about Trump doesn't have an attorney.
Well, you know what? To tell you the truth, here's my theory about that. I haven't heard that, and that doesn't surprise me. The problem with Trump and his circle, as we all know, is that there have been so many lawyers on top of lawyers. And ever since ever since the Allen Weisselberg case, that people have just been abandoning him left and right because he's such a toxicity, not only amongst his own party, but amongst his own business buddies. I mean, we saw this when him and Giuliani are no longer seeing eye to eye, and I thought that was a huge move in terms of, you know, the opening the doors to see how dangerous it is, you know, for Trump. And I just think that I don't know if anybody's willing to even try to defend him at this point. And, you know, I mean, the MAGA Republicans in Congress and the Senate, I mean, of course, they're verbally defending him, you know, from a distance, but I don't know if anybody's going to show up in court. I mean, I think this guy is basically all on his own. And, I mean, he kind of put himself in this box, in this position, obviously. So I don't know. If he actually doesn't have an attorney, I mean, I think that's kind of hilarious in a way.
Well,
and it's hilarious, it's embarrassing, but it's also kind of pathetic.
No, it's what he deserves. Here's a Forbes article that says, from today, it says it's actually breaking. Two attorneys represent former President Donald Trump and the Department of Justice's probe in his handling of the classified documents, abruptly quit Friday, less than a day after Trump was indicted on 7 criminal charges. Though the 2024 Republican candidate has not publicly acknowledged the latest shakeup to his legal team. Attorneys John Ridley and Jim Trusty said in a joint statement they will no longer represent Trump in either the classified documents case or the ongoing Justice Department investigations into his role in the January 6th insurrection, though they did not provide a reason for the departure other than to call it a logical moment to leave Trump's legal team. In May, attorney Tim Parlator, who also represented Trump in the Justice Department Special Counsel Jack Smith investigation, well, into whether Trump mishandled classified White House documents after leaving office, resigned from Trump's legal team, calling the move personal and not a reflection of his belief in the strength of the case. In February, Rudy Giuliani quit. He was instrumental in Trump's unsuccessful bid to challenge the results of the Joe Biden win. So I don't know who is going to be his attorney tomorrow. That ought to be really interesting.
I had heard
something,
and it was quickly said that the court may assign him an attorney.
He doesn't have an attorney right now?
That was speculation that I had heard today.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I asked the question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because they can't really expect anybody to defend Donald Trump because he's such a liar. His last lawyer, attorney, who just quit, not only the case is not winnable, but Trump tried to paint him in a way that where he could lose his license and be barred from practicing from law because of this whole espionage papers and private documents. You know, he lied to them, you know?
Yeah, he lied
to
them.
So the lawyer basically was covering his ass. You know, and, of course, they don't get paid. They don't get paid. So who would represent a son of a bitch like that? Who in the right minds? An unwinnable case, a son of a bitch for a client, a liar, scumbag, a rapist, you know, a sexual assaulter, you know. Yeah, Donald Trump is the worst that America has to offer. He has no business being in the Oval Office.
Plus, he doesn't keep his mouth shut. The lawyers go crazy because if he just shut up and let them do it, he'd be in a better spot. But he can't do that. It's all about him. And, you know, he lies like crazy.
Yeah, and he's incapable of being like, you know, humbling
himself. You know what? I will say this. I regardless of if he actually goes to jail, here's the main thing, and I really have to think about this one, that so I just saw a thing that said that Anthony Scaramucci is predicting that Trump will drop out. I haven't looked into that deeply, so I don't know when he's predicting that. Now, here's the thing about it. Now, as much as I can't stand DeSantis, there is a whole part of me that kind of hopes he gets the nomination in the sense that, now, again, as a person who is absolutely – you know, driven crazy when it comes to, I mean, this whole thing ticks me off with the Civil War, and the MAGA Republicans are going to go to war with everybody who's non-MAGA, including the establishment Republicans, including both sides of the Democratic wing. And, you know, the thing about it comes down to this. Trump actually said that he threatens to run third party if any other Republican is nominated. And the whole thing about it is, you know what, for as much societal damage as that going to cause, and not that he's already had done that plenty, you know, the Republican infighting is the best thing that can happen to Democrats in a long time. And and that's why I hope that somebody else gets the nomination. And if he runs from jail and they still back him, and even if he's not nominated, and this will easily show a lot of the regular-minded American voters, especially the independents, just how pathetic that party is, that they're willing to fight for whatever from jail. And I got to tell you right now, this right here is absolute gold in the pot. And this is the advantage that Democrats really have to take. And this is why I'm glad that my governor, Whitmer, is launching a campaign to help boost the Biden-Harris White House and to help boost the top Democrats in the party, as a whole. Because while they're fighting about who's the most pro-Trump and who's the most anti-Trump, we're sitting here telling the American people, I'm trying to sit here and tell people, hey, here's the things that Biden and Harris have done while the other party and their team is saying X, Y, and Z, and MAGA Republicans are only running on, well, Biden cheated the election, and he's a communist, and he needs to be impeached, and we need to prosecute him and indict him and send him to jail. The Republicans admitted that they don't really have much on him but are still going after him. This is about as good as it gets right here. This is like this is almost a essential victory candidate, or basically like a potential win for us. And so that's why I said I think the best way to show that is really by showing the American people have to know he can't get the nomination. And the only way for that to happen is if people – we have to really know a lot of the stuff that he did while he was president. I mean, we're not just talking about the indictment stuff. I mean, the guy outsourced more jobs in 2 or 3 years than Obama did in 8 years. So I think in Obama's 8 years, it was about 88,000 at most. Trump outsourced 2,000 in one term. And that came with the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act that he signed in December, November or December of 2017 with the help of people like Mitch McConnell, Rick Scott, Paul Ryan, of course, them. So, you know, and this is another thing that I'll be doing videos about. It's calling out a lot of the things that happened when he was president as well as after president as well. There is a way that we can really fight this, and we have to be really strategic about it. We have to strategize, organize, mobilize, energize, realize.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Added to what you said, Eric, though, that the Democratic National Committee has a war room now to go after any Republican who go after Hunter Biden, who go after Joe Biden's record, who go after Democrats by smearing them, dirty tactics campaign, Lee Atwater style. Well, not we have it. And the days are long gone where, you know, you say, oh, when they go low, we go high. Those days are over. You know, we go, you know, fire for fire and blood for blood. We're going after them. And this 2024 election going to be a political bloodbath for the Republican Party. Come hell or high water, they can try to change voting laws. They can try to change what precincts will be open, where people go to vote, or if people need, what do you call it now, license to show or ID to show to vote. It's not going to happen. It's not going to work. It's going to backfire big time. And in Georgia, where they have this law saying that if you're in line, you have to stay in line. And if you move out of line, you can't go back in line. You can't eat. You can't drink. You can't go use the bathroom. You know, that's not going to deter people. It's going to make people more determined. And purple states like Arizona, Kirsten Sinema is running an independent. Ruben Gallega is running hard. He's a strategist. He's a lion. He never gives up. And he has some of the most best organizers in the game. And they raise money, you know, within 2 days. They raise $8 million after announcing. That is who we want as Democrats running, who have a grasp of the issues, who are not afraid to stand up to Republicans who try to bully people and, you know, run on culture wars and everything. You know, so if Carrie Lake or Masterson, who ran against the astronaut, and lost.
Mark Kelly.
You know, no matter who it is, bring on the Carrie Lakes of this world. You know, Gallega, Ruben Gallega is going to be the next senator from Arizona come next fall in 2024. You know, I can't wait for that to happen.
Well, you know what? And I want to make a couple comments about that, too. And here's my response to that. And I want to say this. So, yes, you're right. With Ruben Gallego, yes, I'm pretty sure he is the one that I will be backing, and I will definitely be reaching out to his campaign. I'm going to do my best to try to get him on a live stream. If not him, I'll get at least one of his staffers on a live stream, because I've talked with Democratic strategists and organizers down in Arizona. So, I also have some Democratic friends down there, too, so I can probably get involved with that and help in which way I can. Now, the other thing I do want to make clear is this, and this is what everybody has to remember and realize. That to go back to what you said about the when Michelle Obama said, you know, they go low, we go high. I hold on to that for a little bit. Now, I think a lot of that is gone, but I think a little bit of that is still here in the sense that So when we think about how, when we think about how, like, Hillary Clinton was under investigation by the entire government, so you're talking the FBI, the CIA, the DOJ, and the entire Republican Party. We have to remember what happened after 2016. The Republicans took the White House, they took the Senate, they took the Congress, and they had the Supreme Court. And they said that if we have control of the government, which they did temporarily, that she's going to go to jail. Well, guess what? They tried to investigate her. They did what they could, and she's still free. So, and again, it's not like Hillary interfered and said, don't do this or don't do that. They just let it play out, and guess what? Nothing happened as a result, which showed you they didn't really have much on her, which showed you that they're incompetent in their jobs. So you know what? This is what I say in regards to Hunter Biden. And I don't have any proof one way or the other about what's on Hunter, but I will say that there were top Republican officials that were on TV that were admitting that they didn't have much on Hunter Biden. So I say that the way that we go high is by letting them continue to have nothing, and they're going to go after an investigation if they don't even know what they're investigating, and then they're going to lose the investigation, which shows their incompetence and their stupidity. So that's my version of going high. Let them go about it and let them lose, because when your enemy is making a mistake, you don't correct them. You let them make the mistake, and you let them screw themselves over. That's how I look at that.
But my question, Eric, you know, can Biden pass an executive order ordering anyone who been part of the insurrection that they can't run for president? Is that possible?
You know what?
That would be wonderful.
I'm sorry, what?
That would be great. I don't know if it's possible, though.
You know what? I think this. I think that I would say that it probably doesn't hurt to try that. Now, if anything, something like that, now, if our Congress was Democrat, and let's say we had probably five more Democratic senators, I think it'd be more possible for that to go through Congress and the Senate first, and then Biden could sign that into law. And I think that would be – I think it would be possible. Now, is it likely? That's a whole other question. We have pro-MAGA, pro-insurrectionist people still in our Congress, and some of them even in our Senate. And, you know, I think that the way to really go about that is it – this goes back to what – Michelle Obama, Barack, Bill, Hillary, Pelosi, and Stacey Abrams all said is that the way that we beat these people is everybody just has to get out there to go vote for the right candidate. We have to show them what the people actually want. It's not about just us fighting against them. We have to make the public know that these people are not running on anything policy related. And as I stated before, Mitch McConnell and Donald Trump were the two leading voices that told the Republican Party, both pro-MAGA and anti-MAGA, to not run based on policy. The entire thing is Democrats are communists. They cheat. America's better under Republicans. Guess what? That all failed, and that's why a lot of them lost in the midterms. And so Democrats, that's their opportunity to step up and say, hey, they're not talking about health care, so they don't care whether or not you get health care. That's what we're here for. Same thing with education. Same thing with stimulus checks. Same thing with wages. Same thing with infrastructure, bridges, any of that stuff. And so this is what we're here for. And so I think more and more normal-minded voters are starting to kind of see that, and I think that's why the polls in the presidential election are kind of fluctuating. You know, Biden is leading in a lot of areas, whereas Trump might be leading in some others. It kind of just depends on who you ask. So as long as we stay policy-focused, we let the investigations play out. Whatever they find is what they find. Whatever they don't, they don't. At the end of the day, the Republicans are still going to do their infighting, and – you know, you still have your Liz Cheney's and Adam Kinzinger's fighting against the Matt Gaetz's and Jim Jordan's of the world. I say let them fight while we continue to do our thing, because that's how we win. And by doing that, we're showing them that we go high. And it, that's going to be a bloodbath in and of itself, because they're the ones who started the mess, and we're here to finish it.
Yes. I want to ask everybody, starting with Lori, and then Susie, and then Elaine, and then Eric. Dianne Feinstein retiring from the United States Senate. Your rerun for another term. So the Senate seat is open. So we'll have Katie Porter, Congresswoman from District 47, Adam Schiff from California 30th District, and Barbara Lee, California 12th District. Ro Khanna, he's a Democrat, the congressman from California 17th. He's shown interest but not officially declared. So out of all those candidates, who do you think, you know, would be the best U.S. Senator from the state of California? Barbara Lee, Schiff, or Porter? Lori?
I like – it's hard to choose. I really like Katie Porter. I think Katie Porter is really good, if not great, at getting her point across. She's very articulate. She is very outspoken. And I think Porter would be my choice. Not that I don't like Schiff, but I feel he's a little bit too soft in a way when he speaks. I think Katie Porter is stronger with the verbal explanation. Let's put it that way.
Susie, your thoughts on the California race?
I agree. Porter first, Schiff second. As long as those, either one of those get in, I'm happy.
Okay.
Well, you know what? I'm looking at this here. Okay, so I do see that Barbara Lee, Katie Porter, and Adam Schiff have all declared to run. Incumbent Senator Dianne Feinstein apparently declined, which I think is good for her and a lot of us because I appreciate what she's done over the decades. But it is time to step down because, you know, it seems like her health is kind of declining a bit. So we kind of want what's best for her as well. As far as the other three that are running, out of that group, now, me personally, my first choice would be Katie Porter because, like you said, she does have an amazing way of getting her point across. I think that pulling out her whiteboard and doing the mathematics on that and debating with these corporate executives and these people about the wages and the inflation and whatnot, how she called out the inflation wasn't Biden's fault. It wasn't Pelosi's fault or the fault of anybody in the White House. I'm like, this was all corporate greed, and here's how they did it. I think that right there was probably one of the best. That was one of the best ways to explain something that I've ever seen from a senator or a congressperson. And in certain ways, I think she did that even better than Bernie did on some stuff. If it was my choice alone, yeah, it'd be her. But I really like the way Adam Schiff handled himself when it came to, you know, I think he was part of the investigation team when it came to the impeachment trial for Trump and some of the stuff that took place before that. Barbara Lee has some good positions, and I think that she's been a great fit in our government as well. So, I mean, I'm kind of on the fence. Katie Porter would be the number one. And then after that, between Adam Schiff and Barbara Lee, I mean, I'm kind of tied between those two, although part of me probably thinks Barbara because of the, you know, this is the part of me that speaks when it comes to the diversity aspect. You know, we're talking people of color. We're talking women. I mean, so that helps too. But, I mean, either way, it's California. It's a true blue state, which means there's going to be a Democrat there regardless. So any one of those three, it would be just fine with me, even though I prefer Katie.
Elaine, how about you?
I'm not going to pick a person. I'm going to say all three are qualified. How can you pick a winner out of all three?
Right. Well, sure, sentiments as well.
I'll leave it at that. They're all terrific. Mm-hmm. They're all great. They're all talented. Mm-hmm. And all three have their heart in the right place, and they're for the people.
Go ahead, Lori.
What makes me sad is that you do have three really good candidates, and they're all in one state. You know, that's what makes me sad. And it's not like one or the other. I just like the way that Porter communicates. I just like the way she explains things, and she's down to earth. That's just I'm not saying that she's better or Lee, but for me, you know, that's why I like her. So that's the reason. And I wouldn't.
Yeah, for me. I would choose Barbara Lee. Why? Because what can I say about this political icon that's not been said already? She, at the time when LGBTQ rights were under stress, she was there to support the LGBT community. She's for women's rights. She's for immigration rights. She was in the trenches with these groups and other, you know, downtrodden people and, you know, who were beaten down and held back by the system. She's unapologetic when it came to her history of the Black Panther Party. As a student, she volunteered at the Auckland chapter of the Black Panther Party Community Learning Center and worked for co-founder Bobby Seals in his 1973 campaign for Auckland mayor. In 1972, she helped Congresswoman Shirley Chisholm in her bid for the Democratic nomination for President of the United States. She's the first in U.S. history to run as a woman for President of the United States. Barbara Lee is affluent and well-respected member of the Congressional Black Caucus. She came through the political ranks through community development. As a graduate student, she founded the Community Health Alliance for Neighborhood Growth and Education, a.k.a. CHANGE. It's a community-based mental health clinic. She later interned with Congressman Ron DeLons, and she was one of the first African-American women to serve as an intern on Capitol Hill in the 1970s. In 1987, she returned to the Bay Area and founded a facilities management company. So she, you know, she has experience in business. She fully embraced her political destiny when she ran successfully for the California State Assembly in 1990. She served three successful terms and ascended to a higher height in California State Senate in 1996. And then she resigned that seat after winning the special election for Congress in 1998. So she started from scratch, from bottom up. And, you know, she's a candidate for the people and by the people, and she knows the issues. And, you know, she's like, to me, American, she's an American treasure. And I like Kate Porter, I like Adam Schiff. But to me, Barbara Lee is a true blue progressive when you compare all three. She has weathered the storms and came out even better today because of it. And she would make a great United States Senator. She was a chairman or chair for the Congressional Black Caucus from 2009 to 2011. And before that, co-chairman for the Congressional Progressive Caucus, 2005 to 2009. So she's been through it all. She's been there and done it. And I hope Barbara Lee gets a nomination for the next U.S. Senator. Yeah.
Okay, I have something that's breaking.
That's my pick.
Can I just... quick, as of 5 p.m. Eastern Time Monday, Trump and his co-defendant and personal valet, Walt Nauta, did not have an attorney named who was allowed to appear before judges in the Southern District of Florida, according to the court documents. So neither of them have a lawyer right now.
Good.
Right.
It says without a local lawyer to represent him in court, Tuesday's appearance could be cut short. Sources familiar with the matter told NBC News in the case that Trump would go to the courthouse to surrender, but his arraignment and plea may be delayed, according to NBC. That's very interesting. It's kind of hysterical.
Yeah, the shit got real. But anyway, we'll wrap up knowing everything. We thank everybody. Khalil in Commonwealth of Virginia for calling in. Elaine and Susie and Eric from Michigan, thank you for calling in. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Good night. Good night.
It'll be interesting, everybody. Have a great day. Mm-hmm. Have a great night.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah.
You as well.
Thank you. All right. Yes, ma'am. And thank you, everybody, for joining us. This has been Kitchen Politics 123 for Monday, June 12th, 2023. I'm David Franklin in New Mexico. Good night, Lori.
Good night, David. And this is Lori Pickup from Michigan. And again, we are the Democracy Defenders. And we'll see you on Sunday. Bye now. Thank you.
Thank you.